song. We welcome our Mila Devidas Manjiji Bharai Chani Hare Krishna Mahamandra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Manjiji will be here for another 3 days and we will be announcing the program after the class. Hare Krishna.
Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Satara Sata Sri Srimad Sivanga Sesi Bhati Vinata Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Iskan Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Adyapati Vaishnava Vrinda Ki
Jai
Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki
Jai
Prem Shri Gaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki
Jai
Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopina Shamakunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhana Ki
Jai
Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai
Chur Dham Ki
Jai
Mayapur Damaki Jai, Jagannath Puri Damaki
Jai,
Gangavaya Jamuna Devi Ki
Jai,
Bhakti Devi Ki
Jai,
Jossi Maharani Ki
Jai,
Samadaita Bhakti Vrinda Ki
Jai,
all preeminent, all glories to the assembly, all glories to the assembly, all glories to the assembly, all glories to Sri Guru and the one, all glories to Sri Prabhupada Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Vishnu Prasthaya Bhutala Shima Bhaktivinoda Swami Namayana Sayasashatibhani Gauravani Pachani Nirasasas and Yavadi Paskasas Satani Vandeham Shri Yusha Yuta Kamalam Shri Vrunan Vajnavam Shat Shri Rukam Sahagrachat Tam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sam Sajaya Sadhvam Tam Sahagrachatam Pavijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vaita Shri Vishnu Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. October 6, 2016, in Bahrain, and we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 3. So I think we have the verse up. This is Yad Yad Vidhate Bhagavan Swachandatma Mayaya Tani Me Shradhanasya Kirtanya Yanu Kirtaya. Yat yat. Whatever. Vidhate.
Vidhate.
He performs.
He performs.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Swachanda Atma.
Swachanda Atma.
Full of self-desire.
Full of self-desire.
Atma Mayaya.
Atma Mayaya.
By his internal potency.
By his internal potency.
Chani.
Chani.
All of them.
All of them.
May.
May.
To me.
To me.
Shraddhanasya.
Shraddhanasya.
Faithful.
Faithful.
Kirtanyani.
Kirtanyani.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
Anukirtaya.
Anukirtaya.
Please describe.
Please describe.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, please precisely describe all the activities and pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is full of self-desire and who assumes all these activities by his internal potency. Purport. The word anukirtaya is very significant. Anukirtaya means to follow the description, not to create a concocted mental description, but to follow. Shankaradasa requested Suta Goswami to describe what he had actually heard from his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, about the transcendental pastimes the Lord manifested by his internal energy. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, has no material body, but he can assume any kind of body by his supreme will. That is made possible by his internal energy. Yad yad pekhate bhagavan swachandat matmamayaya tani me shraddhanasya kirtanyat yanukirtaya. Therefore, please precisely describe all the activities and pastimes of the Personality of Godhead, who is full of self-desire and who assumes all these activities by his internal potency. So, all of us are interested in hearing about something wonderful. Isn't that a fact? Yeah? Everybody. Everyone in the world, they want to hear something that's inspiring. But children are fine. You don't have to leave because there's a child. You can stay. You don't have to leave. You can stay. I like children. It's all right. As long as they're not screaming, it's okay. So all day long, people are hearing about something inspiring, something heroic, or something scandalous, perhaps, but something out of the ordinary, something wonderful. And many people have proposed that the absolute truth is without form and without activity. But it's quite interesting that those who propose that the absolute truth is without form and without activity and without potency, just a oneness of consciousness, they end up wanting to come to this world and take activities that are material. It's quite interesting, because our original nature is not to be formless and without activities. Isn't that interesting? I mean, there's so many religious systems on the world today that are teaching that the ultimate truth is just this one light and formlessness and just this sort of undifferentiated bliss. But they don't want to stay there in that consciousness. They end up wanting to take a material body, and they end up engaging in material activities. Prabhupada would talk about all these big impersonalist sannyasis who then end up doing material activities in the world, charity activities perhaps, but material activities. And just today and yesterday I was reading one account of one person who had this experience of Brahman realization, and said, you know, but I'd actually rather have a body than just be in the Brahman, because at least if I have a body, then I can exchange some, I can imagine that I'm separate from everybody. I can forget the oneness and have relationships. And I thought, how interesting is this? That we know it's higher to have relationships. Even the Buddhists, you may know that Buddhist meditation is becoming very popular in the world today. You know this? Yes? All over the world, spreading like anything. Big companies, Google, Microsoft, they're teaching everybody Buddhist meditation. But the Buddhists themselves, they say higher than nirvana is compassion. It's a higher pleasure to have love, to have relationships. So the main thing that we are all eager to hear about are the activities of people, the activities of personalities. That is a higher pleasure, relationships and personalities, than simply the oneness, than simply moksha. And we have to say, I mean, it's just simply a fact that of all the religions and all the philosophies in the world, who is presenting the activities of God? Only this Vedic philosophy, frankly. I mean, Srila Prabhupada taught us that one can achieve perfection, more or less perfection, from any bona fide religion. We're not sectarians. One of the things that attracted me to Srila Prabhupada is that he does not preach sectarianism. He does not preach, we are the only ones who know the truth and no one else knows the truth. Prabhupada says, mathematics is mathematics. Whether you learn in this university or that university, mathematics is mathematics. So we admit, you know, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Buddhists, anyone, they can approach the ultimate destination. But up to what level is the question? And outside of the Vedas, who is teaching the activities of God? Is anybody? Are they? No. Maybe the activities of God in this world, how God created the world in relation to us, but in relation to His own realm, that is only found in the Vedic literature. So everyone is looking for some heroic activities. Even those who realize Brahman want some heroic activities, want some wonderful activities of a wonderful person to hear about. And those who have Brahman realization, they come back to the material sphere for them. And we have this, my dear friends. We have it. We have the activities of Krishna in so many incarnations. As Prabhupada says here, Krishna has no material body, but he has so many forms. Advaitam Achyutam Ananyam Anantarupam. And Adhyam Purana Purusham Navi Yovanam Cha. Although he has so many forms and he's the oldest, he's like a young boy, like a teenager. very youthful, very, very playful. So we have this knowledge. And my dear friends, the question is, what are we doing with it? Do we just have the knowledge as some theoretical, intellectual idea that God has a form, that God has activities, that God has personality? Is this just an intellectual idea for us that we can simply say, oh, we have such a wonderful and superior and high philosophy? What do we do with it? So what we should do about this is we should hear and chant about it. And I know all of us in the modern world, we have very busy lives. Technology was supposed to make our lives simpler. You know, I think in some ways it has. But I remember very clearly, you know, 20 years ago, I would spend 2 hours a week on correspondence. Do you all remember that? Do you all remember when we were spending 2 hours a week on correspondence? Like every Saturday from 2 to 4, I would answer my mail. Now every day I'm spending 2 hours on correspondence. Is it? You know? When I was a little girl, my father was the CEO, and so he had a secretary. But now practically we're our own secretary. Isn't that a fact? Yes? Our lives have become very much complex. And all of the leisure time we were promised by modern technology, it seems that we don't really get it. We seem to be busier. You know, again, I remember my father, when his work day was finished, he would leave his work at the office and come home. And nowadays you bring your work with you 24/7, isn't it a fact? Everyone is hesitant to turn off their phone, even in a Bhagavatam class we have this problem. Because they're thinking, oh, my boss will call me. The Queen of England will call me, I don't know who we think is going to call us. So we may think, I don't have any time. My life is so busy. But this is what we're all hankering for. So to make time every day, a little bit of time. And one of the benefits of modern technology is you can have all the pastimes of the Lord even on your phone, isn't it? Yes? Most of you have one of these, correct? One of these little boxes you carry around with you. And we can put on this little box, we can put all of Srila Prabhupada's books. That's pretty amazing. Used to be, like the Bhagavatam says, if you give a gift of the Bhagavatam, then you go back to Godhead. That was when they had to write the book by hand on a leaf. And to carry the whole Bhagavatam would be a big thing. But you can have everything just in your pocket. And not only in writing, there are so many audio books of people reading the Bhagavatam, telling the stories of the Lord. Isn't that a fact? And you can have all of that in your pocket. So hearing the glories of Bhagavatam has become so much easier in modern society, actually. So we have this knowledge. Are we every day hearing it? Or are we hearing about the sports stars and the entertainment stars and the gossip in the community? What are we doing with this desire to hear? So that we should be asking ourselves. And then to talk about it. Again, you know, we are talking about so many things. What is the price of the stock market, or what is going on in the political sphere, you know, or gossip. Or who's winning the sports game? But are we talking about the pastimes of the Lord? And not just hearing and talking about it as a ritual, as a religious practice. Well, it's my religion. I am a Hindu, and so I'm going to hear these stories, and I'm going to talk about these stories as my religious duty. But to absorb ourselves in them, my dear friends, emotionally. Because what happens if we absorb ourselves in these activities of the Lord, not only intellectually, but emotionally? Krishna says, Yam yam bhakti smam bhavam, tvaja jante kalevam, tam tam eva tikanteya, sarapad bhavam bhavita. Whatever our thoughts are absorbed in, determines our future, determines our present, and determines our future. And what we will be absorbed in is what we have some attachment to. If you think about what absorbs our thoughts during the day, it's what we have some attachment to, either a positive or negative attachment. Isn't that a fact? Our hopes and our fears. So to absorb ourselves emotionally in these pastimes of the world. And you may say, well, how do I do that? And right after Krishna says, Yam Yam Bhakti Swarabhan, he says, what? Mam Anuswar Yujicha. Just recently I was having a discussion with one devotee, and she was saying, how do I practically meditate on the Lord and put myself in the mode of goodness or in bhakti while I'm trying to get things done? I'm trying to get my children to school and cook for my husband and do this. How am I going to do that? And I said, you know, Arjuna had the same question. He said, my dear Krishna, you're telling me to have buddhi yoga. You're telling me to be absorbed in you. And then you're telling me to fight a battle. These things are incompatible. If you want me to be absorbed in you, I have to leave the battlefield, give up my occupation as a military person, and go and be a beggar or just go be a meditator somewhere. And Krishna says, no. You think of me while you're doing activities. Mam anusmaram yujicha. So how is that possible? That is only possible, right, if you go back to the 7th chapter. Maya shaktam manaparta. If our mind is absorbed in Krishna with a shakti, with some attachment, with some emotion. What does that mean? That means when we are hearing different stories of the Lord, that we don't hear them superficially, that we meditate on them. We meditate on them. We visualize them. Just like in the modern age, there's so many films. And people become emotionally absorbed in the films. Isn't that a fact? Yeah? So to take that and do that with the pastimes of the Lord, when we're hearing them, when we're reading them, to imagine what it is like if we are there. So we can do that now as an experiment. If someone would like to suggest which pastime of the Lord they particularly like. Anybody have some pastime they particularly like? Yes? Oh, you want to talk about the Damodar? Of course, it's interesting because in the month of Kartik, on this day when Mother Yasoda tied up baby Krishna, that was also the same day when Lord Ramachandra returned to Ayodhya. Diwali day. But we can talk a little bit about the Damodar Lila. If you're interested, Shiva Ramarsh has just published a new book about Damodar Lila. Just a wonderful book, where he's combining the verses from the Bhagavatam with the commentaries of the Acharyas and the other books written by the Acharyas. So what an amazing story this is, that Bhagavan appears as a young child. As a young child. So that is very amazing, because I told you to turn off your phones and all. So we normally think of a young child as being helpless, isn't it? Right, helpless and just dependent on their mother and not very aware of anything. The young child isn't yet educated. What an amazing idea for God. God, who is the oldest of all, who is the father of all, who knows everything, who is all powerful. That is just the opposite of a child. Isn't that a fact? Yes? The child doesn't know anything. They're dependent on others. They don't have any power. And the Lord likes to play as a little child. And he takes delight in doing something that's naughty. So this is also inconceivable. How can the Lord do something that's naughty? Dharmantu Saksha Bhagavat Pranitam. All these rules of proper behavior come from God. Isn't it a fact? What do we mean by naughty? What do we mean by misbehave? Something against the law of God. So why would God take delight in doing something against his own rules? How can one understand this? From just the platform of logic and philosophy, objective philosophy. It doesn't make sense. But from the platform of rasa and enjoyment, it makes perfect sense. That the Lord would want to taste everything that's enjoyable. And that is also enjoyable. So I remember myself when I was about 2 years old. 2 years old, you know, you can't even talk very well, right? So when I was 2 years old, my father had a humidifier. You know what a humidifier is? It puts moisture in the air, like puts water vapor in the air. And it was a big rectangular thing. It was about this high. And it would spout water vapor from a hole in the top. So it had like a flat top and there was a hole. The water vapor would come out. And I would delight in putting things into the hole until the water vapor would stop. You know, I would put in my toys and I would put in pieces of like tissue paper and anything I could find. And I would put it in and I would look and see, you know, when I'd put in something, I'd look and I'd put in another and I'd look until I would get the water vapor to stop. And I knew that I was doing something I was not supposed to do. I definitely understood that. And I remember my father would come and he would be very patient and loving with me. And he would say, now don't do this. You know, we need the water to come out. And, you know, this is not the right thing to do. And I would look at him. I remember it very clearly. I would go, yes. And he would make me watch him clean it out. He'd say, now you stand here. You watch. Well, he would clean the whole thing out. Now don't do this again. And say, yes, Daddy. And then he would walk to the other room and I would watch him walk to the other room. And then as soon as he was in the other room again, I would put everything back into the humidifier. And it was so much fun. I mean, I remember quite clearly how much fun it was. So God also likes to enjoy this rasa. You know, and I was doing it for the curiosity to see what would happen when I, but also for the exchange with my father. Do you all understand? Yes, the child is enjoying like this. So Krishna is called Akhila Rasa Mrita Murti. He is the form of enjoyment of all tastes, of all kinds of enjoyment. So he also likes this pleasure. And of course, his naughtiness is not serious naughtiness. It's not harmful, it's just sweet. You know, although I was causing some disturbance doing this, my father was still enjoying. You understand? Yes? So Mother Yasoda and Nandamarsh, they're enjoying Krishna's naughty activities. So Krishna was drinking his mother's milk, and then the milk on the stove overboiled. And the milk, Mother Yasoda's bodily milk and the milk on the stove, they both belong to Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, sometimes we're not sure what to do first. We may have more than one job to do for Krishna. How do I prioritize? So Mother Yasoda also had this problem. And she decided to prioritize the milk on the stove. So she put down baby Krishna. She was going to come right back and she went to the milk. And Krishna's like, my mother has left me without properly feeding me. So I'm going to cause some disturbance. So he broke the pot that she was churning butter. And you know, in those days they would make butter out of yogurt, not out of milk. So it had a more of a flavor to it. So he was just eating this butter. And then he thinks, oh, now I'm going to get in trouble. So he runs away and he's leaving his butter-smeared footprints. And this is his play. Right? And then Mother Yasoda, she finds that he's gone and she's chasing him and chasing him. And finally she catches him and she says, you know, you're not going to cause any more trouble today. So nowadays what we do with children is we have like a little playpen, you understand? It's like a little thing you put the children in, has sides so they can't get out unless they're very clever. But generally they can't get out. But in those days they didn't have playpens, they would tie the child up sometimes. Mother Yasoda had the big mortar, and she was going to tie Krishna up, and she just took out some of the ribbons from her hair, and she was trying to tie him to the mortar. And little Krishna had a waist belt on, like little bells around his waist. But she couldn't tie him. She took the ribbons, and they were short, just a little bit. So then she took another, and she tied, and it was again too short. Now how is this? So Anatta Rupam not only means that God has unlimited forms, but it also means that His form is unlimited. So it appears that He has a form, but it's not a form like my form. My form is limited. Over here it ends, and there's nothing there. But with Krishna, His form is not like that. It's not a material form. And she got all the ropes from her house, and every time she would tie it, it was too short. And the other ladies started coming to see what's happening. And then Yasoda said, can you bring ropes? And she's bringing all the ropes from the village, practically speaking. You know, imagine how many ropes this is, and how big it is, how many meters long it is. And still they wouldn't go. The Krishna's waist is little tiny. It's just like 2 years old. And it's not going around his waist. And Mother Yasoda was angry. Now her anger, this anger is also a rasa. It was loving anger. You understand? Our anger in this world is not usually very loving. It's usually selfish. But Mother Yasoda's anger was loving. I have to train this boy. He has to behave. And then after a while, she's trying to tie and she starts perspiring. Which is interesting because the demigods don't perspire. The perspiration of people like Mother Yasoda is not like our smelly, troublesome perspiration. And then she started laughing. How is this possible that I can't tie up Krishna? And all the other ladies were laughing. And then Krishna agreed to be tied up. And Mother Yasoda wasn't angry anymore. And she was just laughing. She said, okay, you can tie me. And then Krishna tied up. He noticed there's these two trees, and very big, solid trees. They had been there for like several hundred years. Huge trees with very deep roots. But these trees were actually, the souls in these trees had been demigods, big devas, who remembered their previous lives and had offended Narada Muni. And Narada Muni had said, you will see Krishna. So Krishna saw these trees, he says, and Narada Muni says, I have to liberate them, so let me liberate them. So although he appeared to be a little child helplessly tied to the mortar, he was able to pull this mortar through the two trees, and by pulling this mortar, knock over the two trees. So what little child can do that? And he knocked over the trees, and then the entities that had taken the form of the trees, they appeared in their form as devas. And they prayed to the Lord. At this point, they had full love. They had full prema. And they attained to the eternal world. And then, of course, everyone came and these trees fell. What has happened? What has happened? And Nandamar said to his wife, how can you tie up our son like this? You shouldn't have done this. So this is the Dhammadhammi. And of course, that's just a very short form. But we should be every day hearing these wonderful stories of the Lord. So many stories, thousands of stories. Talking about them with our friends instead of just talking about the things of this world. Absorbing ourselves in them emotionally, not just as a ritual, not just as a religious practice. And then we will attain a happiness and a satisfaction that is beyond anything in the world and even beyond nirvana or moksha. And that happiness and that satisfaction, my dear friends, has some side effects. It has a side effect that we will understand the nature of the world, and it has a side effect that we will develop equilibrium and detachment from the world. So the pains and pleasures of this world will not affect us. We will not be affected by lust, anger, envy, greed, and illusion. We will not be disturbed by the various upheavals and changes of the world, because we will be absorbed in a higher reality. I want to mention, anyone, any questions? Comments?